Now, for a few minutes before we gather around the Lord's table this morning, I'd like to share some instruction that God's Word gives to us concerning this important time together. And some of these things, I confess, should have been shared and talked about earlier. But today is a time that we want to look closely. We want to see what God's Word says to us about our coming together for this special time that He has given to us. And so let's read some scripture together in two different readings this morning. The first one in Matthew chapter 26. And if you don't have a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to take one of your few Bibles and you'll find that scripture on page 989. So first of all, Matthew 26, beginning with verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" Disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely, it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself." While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will, beginning with verse 23, and I think you'll find that on page 1149 in your church Bible, 1149. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. A key phrase before us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is found in verse 28 that we want to look at first of all this morning, where the apostle, writing to believers in Corinth and writing to believers of every age, he says, "Let a man examine himself." Let a man or a woman examine himself. So the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, communion, while some Christians, some professing Christians, they ignore it altogether. Some others often completely misunderstand what the Lord's supper is all about. And there are others that exalt this communion table, the Lord's Supper, to a position that it was never meant to occupy, and they turn it into some kind of an idol, sadly. Why was the Lord's Supper instituted? Why was the Lord's Supper instituted? How do we answer that? Well, simply we go to God's Word, don't we? What does God's Word have to say about the Lord's Supper, the communion table? I quote from an early church catechism that I think just states it very plainly for us in the light of God's Word. It says, for the central remembrance of the sacrifice of death of Christ and of the benefits which we receive thereby. Why was the Lord's Supper instituted? For the continual remembrance of the sacrifice of death of Christ and for the benefits which we receive thereby. Well stated. The bread which is in the Lord's Supper is broken, given, eaten, is meant to remind us of Christ's body given on the cross for our sins. The cup, the drink that we have, which is poured out and received, and is to remind us of Christ's shed blood on the cross for our sins. God's Word says very plainly, without the shedding of blood, there is no, what? Forgiveness of sins. So he or she who eats the bread and drinks the cup is reminded in the most striking and forcible manner of the benefits Christ obtained for their soul. And the death of Christ, as someone has said, is the hinge and turning point on which all of these benefits depend. The cross of Christ, his sacrifice, is the hinge, the turning point in which all the benefits that you and I, as believers, depend. There are four separate scripture references to the Lord's Supper. And you find them in the three synoptic gospels. Matthew records it as we read earlier, and Mark records it in his gospel. Luke and is found also in the writings of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, which we have read, and I trust we have open before us as well. Two of these four tell us why Jesus' disciples and ourselves are or were to eat the bread and drink the cup. And both Luke and the Apostle Paul record the clear words of Jesus when he answers the question, why? And the words are, to do this in remembrance of me. That's a simple answer. Why do we gather around this table? Why do we pass out these elements? Why do we partake together? A simple answer were Jesus' words. We do this to remember Jesus and his death on the cross of Calvary and all that signifies to you and to me and all that was a part of that as well. And so the Apostle Paul adds by way of inspired instruction in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, for as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you what? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so we see very clearly, I believe, very plainly, why is it that we come together? Why is it Christians through the many centuries gather and they partake together in the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, in communion? We go to God's Word and we find the answer, and it's recorded plainly for us in four different places. You know, through the centuries, as we look back through time and the history of the church and churches and their teachings, you know, many churches have added to the simple instruction that we have before us, and they bring not only confusion, but they also bring serious error in the teachings of the church and the understanding of God's people as well. The New Testament simply instructs us of the continual remembrance of Christ's death. The continual remembrance of Christ's death. And so those who would add to this, I think, do so at great peril to the church and to themselves as well. Adding things that God's Word does not have for us. Leaving out or ignoring things that are clearly and emphatically stated for us. And we have read even this morning. And of all the facts relating to Christ's earthly ministry, I think none are equal to the importance of His death. All the things that we might talk about Christ, there are none that would equal the importance of His death on the cross of Calvary. You know, it was the great satisfaction for man's sin. It was appointed by God, this act of sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Even before the foundation of the world, it had been determined that the Son would go to the cross and die there in the place of sinners, you and I, to trust Him, know Him as Lord and Savior. You think this through, and Christ would have lived and taught and preached and prophesied, performed miracles, and it all would have been in vain if He had not crowned it all with what? With dying on the cross of Calvary. He could have done all these things. Without Him going to the cross, it all would have been in vain. He went to the cross. He died for our sins as our substitute, the sin bearer of all those who would know Him and trust Him through the ages. This is the one thing which we poor and weak and sinful people need to be continually reminded of. And so, when you come together, we come together around the table called the table of blessing, the cup of blessing, God's Word says to us. To remember what? The Lord's death on the cross on behalf of poor, needy sinners like you and like me. Many of our old hymns speak to this, don't they? Many of our old hymns. I don't listen much to the new ones, but I don't think nearly as many of the new speak to this as so many of the old. We sang about it this morning, both of the hymns that we sang, about our redemption, about the cross of Christ. We read from Isaiah 51, the cry of David, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Clearly, when Jesus said in Matthew 26, He said, "This is my body and this is my blood," He meant that the bread that he physically held in His hands and the cup of wine that He shared were an emblem, were a picture of His body and an emblem and a picture of His blood. You know, often Jesus used language like this. You know, he'd use one thing and it would represent something else. The field, He said, He's talking to His disciples and they're walking along and there'd be a big garden or a field to be planted. And talking about the gospel going out, and he would say, "Well, this field is the world." And then He said, and then there's a seed. There's a good seed that is planted in the field, in the world. And this good seed is the what? Is the Word of God. You see, it's the same sort of illustration that He used over and over again. He talked about what? Wheats and tares. Now, was He talking to farmers about, hey, when you go out there and plant your wheat, you know, there's going to be some tares that raise up. Just kind of leave those tares alone. I want to give you a little lesson on, what's the word? Not dendrology, that's tree and shrub. What is it? Agriculture. What's a big word for that? Agronomy. There it is. Okay. He wasn't teaching farming. He said, the wheat, believers. Tares, unbelievers, sown by who? By Satan. And so He says, this is holding up the bread. He said, this is my body sharing the cup, he said, this is my blood. There was no change. There's not one of the New Testament writers ever speaks of these emblems becoming another sacrifice or calls the Lord's table an altar. Or there's nowhere in the New Testament that the minister somehow becomes a sacrificing priest. There's none of that there. Been added. And many have been led astray by teaching that are not in God's Word about this most important thing that God's Word speaks to so very, very clearly to you and to me. This is why this morning I want us to take these few minutes to look at these things more closely, that we might know or we might be reminded as we come to this important time that God has given for all of His children. All who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to share one with another in remembrance of Christ. So why was the Lord's Supper instituted? For the continual remembrance of the sacrifice of death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, who should partake of these elements would be the second important question that I would ask and endeavor to answer from God's Word. The what and the who. Who's invited? Who's encouraged? Who should be a part of this? And it's not correct for anyone to urge any or all professing believers to participate. There is a fitness and a preparedness for this time. God's Word makes clear for us. Again, from the scripture that we read this morning. For someone to come to the Lord's table, either ignorant of why they come or unprepared for their coming, is simply wrong. Clearly, Scripture tells us, let a man or a woman do what before they come to the Lord's table? Simply two words, examine themselves. You see that? It's there. Let a man examine themselves, and so then eat the bread and drink the cup. And so to understand and remember what this table is all about is what? It's most important for us. It's not just something, well, oh, this is the first Sunday of the month. We have communion, right? Yeah, okay, well, service is going to be extra long today, you know. But that's been said more than once. It's been extra long more than once, too, I might just add, but I don't think so today. First Corinthians chapter 11 verse 21, clearly a curse, a judgment, and warning to us. Let's read verse 29. What does Paul say? Look at it. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. This is why I endeavor to, as I most generally stand before you, to look closely at God's Word. What does God's Word say? What does it say? Let's go back to the source. Thus saith the Lord. Not just my 5 or 10 or 20 favorite portions or subjects along the way. It would be easier in many ways. And for me, much harder. Really. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, other texts as well that make this clear. But in Acts 17, it says, God commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. God commands all men and women everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. Pretty plain, isn't it? How many? All. A commandment, right? To repent and believe the gospel. But you don't find the same wording about the Lord's Supper. You don't find that. But he does not in the same way, in the same sense, command everyone to come to the Lord's table. Who shouldn't? Among God's people. Among those who are not God's people, who no doubt partake. Who shouldn't come? Simply those living in open, unconfessed, unforsaken sin should not partake in the Lord's table. That would be to ignore the examining of ourselves. Bishop Ryle in the 1800s, nearly two centuries ago, a name that some of us are familiar with, a godly man with great insight. This is what he said. Listen to this. He said, it is nonsense and dangerous to profess we desire to remember Christ's death while we cling to the accursed things which made it needful for Christ to die. Did you get that? It is nonsense and dangerous to profess we desire to remember Christ's death while we cling to the accursed things which made it needful for Christ to die. Thank you, Bishop Royal. There are other things or others who should not include themselves at the Lord's table. And this could be true of some here this morning as well, honestly. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. The Lord's table was not meant for spiritually dead souls, but for living ones, those who are born again to a living hope. And the hope is in who? It's in Jesus Christ alone. It's not in good works that we come thinking, we're doing pretty good in life this week, and so I can feel pretty good about taking communion this morning. No, Lord's table is not meant for spiritually dead souls, but for living ones, those born again in the living hope. You have a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do you? Who should partake of these elements this morning at the Lord's table? What is required of those who would come and take part of these elements? Well, as we mentioned, first of all, those who've examined themselves. Have you examined yourself in the light of God's word? Whether they examine themselves, whether they looking to see, have I truly repented of our former sins? Those who are steadfastly pursuing to be led in a new life, having a lively faith in God's mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you? Being kindly affectioned one towards the other, as the King James would say, of our hearts towards other Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, kindly affectioned one towards the other. You think about those you know who would be brothers and sisters in Christ. Good King James it's pretty clear, isn't it? Kindly affectioned towards others. We come to the Lord's table and we come, it's a thankful remembrance of the death, of Christ's death on our behalf, and the desire to live in love with all people. Simply put, those coming to the table, simply put, those living in repentance and faith and love towards others. Does that describe you? This is what God's word says for us. Those living in faith in Christ. Those who have repented of sin and it's a way of life. And those with a heart looking after and appreciating and loving others that God has given, God has put in our family, in His family, with whom, some of whom we gather around this table for this special family time that we have. That our Lord instituted for you and for me. So the Lord's table this morning is not meant to push people away. That's not my point. Not to push people away, but a means of drawing those who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, drawing us near to Himself as we remember what? The Lord's death. How long? Until He comes. The supreme sacrifice for our sin, we are being reminded of that cross. And again, the song that we sing from time to time, dying for me, dying for me. There on the cross, Christ was what? Dying for me. there dying for me, remembering until he comes again, verse 26. You know, there's a looking back, but yet as we look back, even the Apostle Paul reminds us, as we look back, we can look back in calm assurance that one day, thinking forward also, he said, you just keep doing this. You keep remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross until how long? Until our Lord Jesus Christ comes. How long will we keep doing this? Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. How long will we keep doing this? Until the Lord Jesus Christ calls you home and you'll be in his very presence and you'll give him praise. What a day that will be. And so as part of those who are a part of the family of God, those who are in Christ Jesus, we share in humble confidence that our Master and our Lord is pleased to have us at this blessed table, a table of blessing, as we remember the Lord's death on our behalf until he comes. For all who know him, trust him, follow the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're a member of this church or a member of any church, or perhaps right now you're not a member of any church, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith is in him alone. You're among those who have repented and are repenting of sin, and those who have a love for the family of God, flowing out of what Christ has done for you in love on the cross. We invite you this morning to participate with us as we remember through the bread and through the cup Christ's death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for this time together this morning, these simple instructions that you've given to us. Lord, we do not want to add. We do not want to take away. We do not want to ignore. Lord, some of us have heard and learned other things that we don't find that here. So help us, Lord, teach us. Remind us as we're reminded through these elements of the death on our behalf and the cross of Calvary. Our body was so mutilated, and the blood that flowed down, taking our place, paying the cost, paying the price that we should pay, our penalty, that we might have forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. We give you praise and glory as we gather. I pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.